The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Any which way you get us. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game. What's happening?
Not much. Ready to roll, man. U.S. Open.
U.S. Open.
24 hours from now.
24 hours away, and rain expected in the morning, and then wind kind of all day long.
Yeah.
We were just looking at the wind gust grid, if you will. I guess peak is 11 a.m., but it's really all day.
It's really all day, but we're about 24 hours straight now. I mean, when we checked on this yesterday, this was very, very similar. So there, you heard me yesterday saying about it kept moving earlier.
Yeah.
Think we've stopped with that. Well, who knows? It's weather.
It's weather.
A lot could change.
It's weather.
Although I am noticing right now, Gil, I think 45 is where we were topping out, at least on Windfinder for expected wind gusts. 49 now at that 11 a.m. mark.
Oh my God.
49 mile an hour winds.
Remember in the NFL,
right.
The point where we consider wind to matter is 15 miles per hour.
Correct. Glad you brought this up.
49. Yeah.
Our old friend Kevin Roth. So he and yeah. his number for golf was, okay, it's 15 for football. Knock off a few miles an hour. 11, 12 is where you're going to feel it with golf. So
well,
45, 49.
You were looking for wind analysis. You've come to the right place.
That's right.
We'll do it all morning. Rick Gaiman will join us to discuss the U.S. Open, golf data analyst at CBS Sports, and of course at rickrungood.com.
Well, he's out there, so he'll have a
he's
much
out
better
there.
Idea.
We don't know if he's on the course like. Or if he's in a hotel, but
yeah,
he's out there.
Yeah.
And then Alex Crook will join us to talk World Cup. He's from Talk Sport, chief football correspondent over there. Can't wait to discuss the World Cup with him after a, how can I put this, a star-filled performance yesterday. If 2 days ago was defined by draws,
mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, and 4, yesterday was all about the big stars putting the biscuit in the basket, starting with Lionel Messi and a hat trick. I said to Joe Pita yesterday, I go, you know, besides the precision shots, the unbelievable ability to possess the ball in a crowd, and the just overall magic, I can't really tell what sets this guy apart. Other than that, Chris Velika on the World Cup. Chris Velika has more World Cup bets than I think any human on Earth right now, between today, tomorrow, and further.
Beyond. You know what? You know what, Gil? It's gotten to a point that I don't even remember what all he has. So, yeah, I've got to recheck that list.
And Will Hill will join us. Paul Sporer will join us as well. I don't think Toddy Wishnev's going to make it today. I think Toddy's a little under the weather.
So okay.
So we might not be getting the Todd experience today. But Will Hill will join us, all his bets, Paul Sporer, on Major League Baseball. And you and I will put together a Splash Sports U.S. Open entry. Yes?
Yes.
Or mock entry.
Mm-hmm. We'll do a couple mock entries.
Tier 1, yep. Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4, Tier 5, Tier 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look forward to that. Yesterday, in case you missed it, what I was referring to, Lionel Messi with the hat trick in the World Cup as Argentina. Absolutely showed their mettle. 3-0 win over Algeria. That was the third of the four games. Austria, in case you missed it, late last night beat Jordan 3-1. Norway in maybe the most, I mean, it was Iraq, right? But just a tremendous performance yesterday from Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
He scored twice. I just thought of Kelly Bidlin the whole time.
He's glorious, Gil. You know it. He's glorious.
Erling Haaland scoring Norway's first two goals yesterday. And then before all of that, France ended the draw train. It was like, okay, once we lose one draw, that's it. And they did so against Senegal, 3-1 win, where Kylian Mbappe scored twice. So there you go. These are your odds to lead the World Cup in goals. This is the Golden Boot standings right here.
Yeah, this is the Golden Boot standings and then updated odds right next to it.
Yeah, Lionel Messi with the lead over the field right now, 3-1. There's Haaland, there's Mbappe. At 6-1 and +225 respectively. Some others with two goals as well, including Balogun from the United States. So
mm-hmm.
this is gonna be great. Wow, what a just absolute star filled day that was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean the one important thing to remember with this, right, is you need team to advance furthest. So that's why you're seeing longer odds on a Haaland compared to an Mbappe, Messi, even Kai Havertz right there for Germany, who's expected to go pretty far, right? 10-1. So yeah, those guys off to a great start, and the big stars. Yeah, you said Messi's always just beautiful soccer to watch, but oh my gosh, the way Haaland and Mbappe get it done. Did you see that missile that Mbappe sent in at the end? Like, it just, it's like, you know, from 50 yards, it's like the Wemby half-court shot, just like in your face.
Oh, I thought the first one that he scored was the pass that set him up.
And gorgeous.
Was just gorgeous. There's, you know, there's something about in soccer when, you know, again, this is layman soccer opinion right here, but in, you know, obviously there's the long shot, there's the, you know, there's the headers, there's everything, but there's something about a pass that sticks to the ground that's precise like that. That pass had to be right at that moment, right at that strength.
You know what was crazy? It was like 3 minutes earlier, they almost had another one, too, where Mbappe didn't kind of lay out for it. I actually thought he was going to have that one.
That pass from, was it from Michael Olise, by the way?
Yeah, I think so.
That was just awesome. Absolutely awesome. And who knows? Maybe, you know, there's Golden Boot, and then there's the one, of course, for the best player in the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother category right there. Today, another quadruple header, and this is finally the last of the first games of the group stage.
Oh, okay.
So after today, everyone will have played one game, and we start anew with games, with game two starting tomorrow. But today it's groups K and L.
Good.
Portugal.
I've been waiting.
Portugal and the Democratic Republic of Congo is the first game. Now, it's always a different time. It's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific today, the third different starting time of a quadruple header in 3 days. Then it's England-Croatia, Group L clash as England. If you're listening to Drew Dinsick on the show yesterday, England sort of might fancy themselves after seeing Spain. England might feel like, well, maybe we got a better shot than we think to win all of this. First time since 1966. That's what they're trying to do. Ghana, Panama after that, and Uzbekistan, Colombia. Throw out the records when Colombia takes on Uzbekistan.
Yeah, like
later
it.
In the day.
Any action for you so far for the day?
No.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific for the day, although I can't wait to talk to some of our soccer guys because the England-Croatia under definitely sticking out to me. That's one we heard a lot about that England defense coming into the World Cup. Croatia usually has a pretty good defense, so excited to hear that one. I got Portugal futures, so that will be important today. Colombia to win the group, that will be important today. No, and then, yeah, we do have one survivor going here today.
We got Croatia going. Here's our update on our survivor entries. These are actually in play. We're actually playing this contest. Senegal loses to France, so that's the first X. Now, that doesn't mean we're eliminated, because obviously there's two more games for Senegal
their group.
And it was France. But everything else, either a win or a draw, Croatia to go today, as we mentioned. College baseball yesterday, Kelly. We had two elimination games, and now it's very clear. It's a very clear sort of explanation. If you missed it yesterday, Georgia took down Texas 2-0. Texas gets eliminated. That was in bracket two. Bracket one, West Virginia blanked Troy 12-0. So now we have a situation. Bracket one is North Carolina, West Virginia. Bracket two is Oklahoma and Georgia. But this is still the double elimination round. And remember, North Carolina and Oklahoma have not lost yet. So today we have two potential elimination games. If North Carolina and or Oklahoma win, West Virginia and Georgia will be bounced. But if West Virginia and or Georgia wins, West Virginia has to beat North Carolina twice. Georgia has to beat Oklahoma twice. So those brackets will still continue if either West Virginia or Georgia win as we try to get to the best of three college men's World Series final. So North Carolina and Oklahoma in the catbird seat, all they have to do is win one game here today and they will advance, or one of the next two. West Virginia and Georgia got to win two in a row.
Also, I'm not sure about you. I didn't text you this yesterday, but I probably should have my unfair comments about the College World Series television ratings. As I was sitting there at home watching, I think I watched 80% of that Texas-Georgia game. Like, I kept going back to it. It was a great game.
So, money's money if you're betting.
I'm sitting there, and I was like, this is a great game. Two great schools.
The entire College Baseball World Series is fantastic.
It really is. It's a great tournament.
We do have tennis left today, so I had four picks for subscribers over at nightvsin.com/picks. All of my tennis picks, all of Zach Cohen's tennis picks, all on the overnight for subscribers. One has already completed. It's a winner. After a two, by the way, yesterday was a 2-2. We lost Juice. Alexandra Iala already got it done against Donna Vekic, so that's a winner at plus 108. Vekic coming off her win, her tournament title last week. She beat Emma Raducanu in the final. That was interesting because Raducanu had played like a doubleheader, and Vekic took advantage of that. And now maybe in that win, perhaps we took some advantage of Vekic having to play the entire week last week, but Iala is just money. Right now, Adrian Mannarino is going up against Arthur Ferri. It's in the first set. They are on serve. Last I checked, Marino got broke, then he broke back. So minus 123 on Adrian Mannarino. That's already in play. These two at the bottom, Kelly, have not started. These are on the women's side. Tatiana Maria, minus 110 versus Diana Yastremska. Yastremska is a big hitter, but Maria's grass court numbers are elite. Taking Tatiana Maria at minus 110 versus Diana Yastremska. And here is the big swing.
Oh.
Ekaterina Alexandrova. This is her best surface. Now, she has not been playing good tennis this year, but her grass numbers remain elite. Irina Sabalenka coming off her French Open just shattering loss. Was that the quarterfinals where she was way up and then she just gacked it to Deanna Schneider? I believe it was the quarters. I got Alexandrova with her elite grass court numbers here at plus 442. Now, I'm not saying she should be favored, but this shouldn't be anywhere near plus 442, in my humble opinion. Nowhere close to this. I think this will be a competitive match, and
let's go.
It's absolutely worth a shot. I think we are live here. So, Tatiana Maria, Ekaterina Alexandrova, both supposed to start while we're on air this morning, in case you want to sweat some tennis while we're talking.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Rick Gaiman. From rickrungood.com, golf data analyst at CBS Sports, U.S. Open next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases NFL betting guide. We are 5 days away from that, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Poke Therapy wants to know on Twitter, Kelly, is Paul Carr back on the show again this week? Yes.
Yeah, he'll be back on Friday, 11:45 Eastern time.
There you go. Aaron, AK Parlay All Day. He said, after draw day Monday, I threw this brain-dead parlay together. Thanks to you and Kelly for a great show each day. By the way, my wife's birthday is the 21st of September. Greatest birthday ever? Do you remember? He hit a four-leg parlay. France, -1.5. Norway, -1.5. Argentina, -1.5. And Austria, -1.5 yesterday. 25-1. How about that?
Whew.
Nice job, Aaron. Milk Gallon. Had enough hearing all the Morocco love. Found a 55-1 for them to win it all. Just wanted to give your Spurs ticket some company. Good bets that won't catch. And Las Vegas 514. Yo, the pure excellence that is Messi. The skill, the talent, the pure dominance I haven't seen since somebody named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Messi alone will make me watch more World Cup than I had planned to. Absolutely spectacular. And Billy Charlebois. I'm someone who doesn't watch soccer, but I want to get interested in it. I heard that Messi scored a hat trick, so I tuned in to watch the highlights on SportsCenter. All they had were still shots that immediately lost me.
Oh, probably World Cup licensing issues.
FIFA and Fox and all that, yeah. All right, U.S. Open, 24 hours away. Special numbers game investigation reveals the United States Open begins tomorrow at Shinnecock Hills, where the weather is the situation, or really the headline, I should say. We'll find out what the situation is from our buddy Rick Gaiman, who joins us now from Shinnecock Hills. He, of course, is a golf data analyst at CBS Sports. He, of course, has his own website, rickrungood.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at rickrungood. It's Rick Gaiman, everybody. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well, guys. Yeah, I'm here. I'm excited. The golf course looks awesome. It's rugged. I like using that word. So yeah, I'm very stoked for the week. I think this is my favorite USGA venue, so this should be a good one.
Let's get this out of the way first, because I don't want to run out of time. What are you involved in? A Splash Sports contest as well you're doing?
Yeah, we've got a big $200,000 guaranteed for the tiers contest this week. Obviously, we've had the one and done stuff run. I can't get into that anymore, but the tiers contest for this week is a big one indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
So multiple at Splash. Go sign up.
That's
for all
right.
of them.
That's right.
Do it.
Rick, how, so you, I assume you're there for CBS. Is that a correct assumption? And if so, maybe not.
Sorry. Well, no, this is more of a Rick Rungood endeavor. Okay. Yeah. So there's actually a fantasy golf forum that I'm speaking on a little bit later today. Wow. The USGA is kind of embracing things a little bit more. So yeah, it'll be, this is Rick Rungood boots on the ground.
My apologies. Let me just start with my, okay. I have a sincere apology. How are you taking this in? Are you going to be on the course itself?
Yeah. So last couple of days, I spent a lot of time walking the golf course, and then I'll be out there, obviously, as play gets underway. I'll have to bounce early before the conclusion of the tournament because I got to go to Florida to do some PGA Tour live stuff. But yeah, listen, I want to be out there. Right. And I love getting out there and seeing how this course is playing. I'll tell you right now, fairways are easy to hit, but it's going to be harder closer to the hole that you get. They're preparing for just devastating winds tomorrow. I mean, some of the forecasts are like 40 mile an hour gusts, 50 mile an hour gusts, depending on where you're looking. So the staff is out there working pretty hard to make sure this thing doesn't get away from them.
Is it your understanding that it favors one time of day over another, or does this feel pretty blanketed over tomorrow?
The afternoon is going to be bad. Now it's just a matter of like, does the wind start rolling in at 2 o'clock, or does it start rolling in at 10 a.m. and everybody gets a little bit of it? I think that's the big question. If I had a hunch, I'd say you want to go out early tomorrow. I think that's going to be the better side of it. I don't think you're going to be able to avoid it all, and there's a chance that it gets everybody. So it's certainly worth being out in the morning, but I don't think it's a prerequisite for holding the trophy on Sunday.
Okay. How did you end up betting this then? Where did you land?
So the two big wagers have come one guy in the afternoon, one guy in the morning. I'm doing a little bit of an opposites thing. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick, who is one of the best players in the world this year, hits it really low. His apex is like 90 feet. It's one of the lowest on tour. He works the ball in multiple directions. You're going to need to do that at Shinnecock. He's got this unbelievably creative short game. I just think he's ready to do it. So Matt Fitzpatrick is one. And then I went a little bit deeper out of the morning wave to Chris Goddard, you guys. And Chris Goddard's already got a couple of wins this year. I don't think he gets enough credit for his short game. This is a very links-style golf course, at least American-style links. And Goddard won the Scottish Open last year. He nearly won the Open Championship the following week. His driver is a weapon. I think it's going to be pretty random, though. You know, I don't mind going farther down the board, getting away from the Scotty and the Rory conversation at the top. I think I don't think it's a fair golf course, fellas. Like, I think you're going to hit a good shot and kind of get rejected in some ways. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
You might have already answered this, but where are you on Scotty at this point then? Too short of a number all across the board?
Yeah. Yeah, just too short for me this week. I'm not afraid to go down into those depths, but there's been some really good stats about like how you have to have great distance control for this week, how you've got to hit it to the middle of the green. He's been worse at that than previous years. There's also this lingering, we saw it at Pinehurst recently, where Scotty doesn't like bad luck, right? Like Scotty likes to hit a really great shot. He likes to execute and he likes to get rewarded for it. And I do worry a little bit about catching a bad break and that kind of spiraling through the rest of his game, which has happened. And when the number is as short as it is, I need to be pretty committed to the player.
He's really understanding when his caddy suggests the wrong club also. Really super understanding.
Yeah, he's very good at that.
Yeah. is there a name that you haven't heard mentioned beyond the ones, Goddard, because I actually asked about Goddard specifically yesterday because I felt like no one's talking about him. So I love hearing that from you. Is there another name sort of deep down, or maybe not even deep down? Let's take it beyond the Scheffler, McIlroy, Rahm group at the top.
Sure.
In that next tier, is there someone that you think is most sort of their game fits this course the best?
Yeah, I think there's the game that fits the course is Ludvig Åberg, right? I mean, he's a fantastic tee to green player, but I do want to go a little bit deeper than that to Patrick Reed. And that is just a guy who fits major championship golf. So he has only played twice since the beginning of March because he hasn't had to. So he's only played the two major championships. He's played well in both of them. I was just out there this morning. he is walking around here. That was the most well-prepared practice round I have seen in a major championship in a really long time. He knew exactly what he wanted to accomplish. He was playing by himself. He did not even look at where the pin is being placed today. He went to all the spots he knows the pins are going to be. He wasn't doing that thing, guys, where like they look around and they're like, should I hit a couple shots from here or should I not? He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He looked in complete control of his game. I really love Patrick Reed and the way that he's leading into this.
Wow. That makes me want to fire on Reed immediately.
That's a pretty good note there. Yeah. Rick, do you have any updates or anything you've noticed out of some of the guys that are coming in with some of the injuries? We know Brooks sounds like he's going to give it a go, but he's dealing with a hand. You've got Morikawa. We got Jake Knapp teeing it up. How are you approaching those guys this week?
Yeah, so a little bit different. I mean, Brooks is not a pain issue, which is good. It's not a pain tolerance thing. It's just it kind of feels weird, and he doesn't have the right amount of pressure. I would argue that's probably not great around a place like this. I walked six holes with Jake Knapp yesterday. He looks like he's going full throttle. You know, for Jake Knapp, full throttle is this very sweet tempo, very smooth. He doesn't put a lot of pressure on it. His coach said he's good to go. He looked a little bit rusty to me, which makes sense because it's been some time away from him, but he looks healthy. The one that I did, I had a note on Cameron Young. He's got like everything taped up. His right wrist is taped up. He's got something on the hand. He's got the KT tape down the left forearm. He looked a little bit, I'll just say, uncomfortable on the range today. Like the ball wasn't working in the direction he wanted it to work. So all in all, I think I'm mostly just avoiding those guys. I wouldn't mind a flyer on Jake Knapp because it's just Rusty's got to knock off and he's had such a great year. If you believe his coach, he's healthy, he's ready to rock and roll. So that's the one that I would take a flyer on, but I'm not super stoked about any of these guys.
Rick, let me sort of ask it a different way. Obviously, with the weather being such a factor here, and we've seen golfers get frustrated on this course in the past in dramatic ways. Only 3 under par scores in the previous 4 U.S. Opens played here at Shinnecock Hills, which is just amazing. I cannot wait to watch the frustration. But what's the biggest name, therefore, getting to the question, that you feel might crap out so bad they might even miss the cut because of that kind of frustration?
I think Bryson's the logical one because of how many different shots are required around the green, and he uses one length irons, which is going to be impossible in a lot of these scenarios. Like, I don't know what he's going to do around the greens. That's one. Cam Young, I do think there's a large range of outcomes for Cam Young, fellas. I wouldn't be super surprised to see him miss the cut just because I think he's dealing with something. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be long rounds. They're going to be like 6-hour rounds. It's going to take forever. So get yourself somebody who has got some patience, who's not going to get frustrated in these spots, because it is going to be a long week.
Okay. So again, your two guys again, repeat for us, Matt Fitzpatrick and Patrick Reed were the two?
It was Matt Fitzpatrick, Chris Goddard, and then a big honorable mention to Patrick Reed. He is looking very good this morning.
Yeah, I like all those.
It's a huge note on Cameron Young, too. You're the second person I've heard say that now this morning, Rick. Yep, thank you.
Something going on with it, yeah.
Rick,
appreciate you guys in a big way.
Enjoy the mayhem. Thank you so much.
Take care, y'all.
Rick Gaiman, everybody. Rick Run Good on Twitter, rickrungood.com. And, of course, he works at CBS Sports as well, covering golf. How about some soccer with Alex Crook from Talk Sport next?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I don't usually give grades to segments right after we do them, but Rick Gaiman came strong.
He's a star, man. He's awesome.
That was
great work.
As great little notes about Patrick Reed to the good. I guess Matt Fitzpatrick to the good in terms of the trajectory of his shots, in case anybody didn't know about that. And then to the bad, the Cam Young stuff, right?
We can't make a big enough of a deal of that. This is a sport that you do not get regular injury reporting, right? So we're wondering, we have all these questions. It's not like this is something that's just that's coming up or they're going to announce later. No, he's going to go play. He's not going to say anything about it unless he's probably going to get questioned today in the press conferences. If he has press availability, if he makes himself available, he'll probably ask about it. But I saw a couple tweets this morning before I left, Gil, about him grabbing wrist stuff and messing around with his arm, but not to the details that Rick had about him having some, I don't know what he said, bandage or wraps on the arm and messing around with that. Like, that is significant.
That and the Patrick Reed stuff is great too, because it's like, yeah, he just was so confident in everything he was doing on this practice round. Here, by the way, is the wind grid, if you will, Who's this courtesy of again, Kelly? I want to give them a credit.
Windfinder. I don't know if it's is this from yesterday though, Danny? I don't know if this is updated.
Okay.
It's look, it's similar. It's 11 a.m. 31 mile an hour sustained winds, 49 mile an hour gusts. Gil.
Brutality.
I mean, that's the other thing. So it's the. I'm going to get to all my bets later. I did bet Scheffler though, and I think there is. I thought we had a great conversation about it on Long Shots yesterday because Matt Brown was very close to going Scheffler and then kind of backed off. I ended up betting him kind of smaller than I normally would. And I talked about this yesterday, maybe adding on to him live. With the wind being so crazy, and you don't know how it's going to affect people and where it's going to affect people through the course of the day, on a course this hard, I think it does. It unfortunately does take some of the enthusiasm of betting Scheffler at such a short number because he could just, you don't know, he might get caught in the worst 45 minutes or an hour of weather and you're already on a tough course.
Could wipe out anybody at the wrong time.
It could wipe out anybody, yeah. And it could level a playing field that you would think he has a step up on. So it's, I did bet him, but I did want to lay that out there. And I think for these guys, I was asking about like Brooks and Morikawa, and now that we know Cameron Young, like, this is another... I can't consider any of these guys that are coming in with questionable... You're telling me your wrist hurts, and now you're going to go play at the hardest golf course in the United States with 49-mile-an-hour wind gusts?
Not good, Bob.
Not good. Not good. Good luck.
Yeah. Let me read a couple tweets here. This is, by the way, for those wondering, a little inside baseball here. What's happening here is we're waiting on Alex Crook. We don't know if he's going to show up for this segment or not. So now we're right in the no man's land of the segment. Should I go to something else or should I not yet? This is very, it's a very dicey area right here.
You just have me ramble on about golf for 4 hours today.
This is from Shrek McPhee. Is it worth betting the Heat futures in hopes Giannis gets dealt on Friday? I didn't think you were going to go Heat futures. I thought you were going to go Celtics futures. I would not bet Heat futures. My hunch is he's going to be a Celtic. That's my hunch.
I cannot wait to see how this plays out. I think I
just play out either
I,
way.
I have a. I think at this point, Gil, that I have a feeling you're right. We're on this side now. I can't believe it's going to happen, but I don't know. Nothing with Giannis am I going to believe until it gets done.
Yeah,
we've been saying this for how many months now? Years.
Sean's Fox Plays. I'm officially investigating Mr. Gil Alexander as a closet soccer fan on the weekends, as there's no way he can pronounce every soccer player perfectly without spending time watching. We hear you, Gil. We hear you. It's okay. You can come out when it's your time. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't know I was pronouncing everything okay. Thank you for the corroboration, Sean. I was not confident about any of that, so thank you. Let's talk... Oh.
Updated Giannis odds, by the way.
Yes, sir.
49% for Boston, 40% for Miami.
49% for Boston, 40% for Miami?
Yep.
That's
and
at,
then we are down, that is at Kalshi, down to 10% for him to stay with Milwaukee. If you want that in American odds, Boston minus 112, Miami plus 139, and then you are about plus 840 for him to stay with Milwaukee. And there is nobody else remotely even close on this these odds, Gil.
Let's welcome in Alex Crook at Talk Sport. You can follow him at Talk Sport. He is chief football correspondent. So kind to join us, talking World Cup with us, and dancing on ice commentator, presenter, journalist, author, ambassador at Star Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex_Crook. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Alex, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Obviously excited about England getting their World Cup campaign off and running against Croatia here in Texas later today.
Is this the year? Is this the first time since 1966 they're going to win the World Cup?
I wouldn't go that far, but I've got to say, looking at the teams that have played to this point, obviously Argentina, impressive last night, France in the second half. But apart from that, not seen too much to worry England to this point.
Alex, what is the headlines thus far and everything you've seen? We have seen some great performances, particularly yesterday, from some of the teams that are favored to go far in the World Cup. And then not so much, right, when we talk about a team like Spain, a side like Spain. What's the big headline for you so far, headlines from this so far?
I think probably the big story is that Spain draw with Cape Verde. Obviously, there's been a lot of criticism about the fact there are so many teams at this World Cup, so many smaller nations. But Cape Verde really did it for all those minnows by holding the European champions to a draw. I thought the Netherlands were quite underwhelming as well. Brazil didn't impress me too much against Morocco. But as you say, yesterday, Argentina came to the party. Lionel Messi hat-trick. What a story that is. Erling Haaland scored twice for Norway. And Kylian Mbappe, likewise for France. So the big boys really came to town.
I will ask this of you because you are not from this country, as noted by the accent. So it's better to get this from someone from the outside, a perspective from the outside. Do the United States have a legitimate chance to get far, and I mean perhaps even to contend to win this World Cup after what you saw the other day against Paraguay? Or is that just one game? It's against Paraguay. Let's not all get crazy about this.
I think they'll certainly get into the knockout stages. Arguably, that first half from the US was as impressive as any team so far in this tournament. But in terms of winning it, no, I think that would be a little bit far-fetched. Defensively, I'm not too certain of them. Balogun up top is probably not on the level with the likes of Mbappe and Haaland and Messi, who I've just mentioned. But I think for the tournament, the further the hosts go, the better, because you guys need to get swept up in World Cup fever, and having a successful USA men's national team, I think, would help with that.
I like, Alex, that you gave us the knockout round. That was as far as you were willing to concede for sure. Give us the World Cup side that is the furthest down on the odds board that you think has a legitimate chance.
Well, we've not seen Portugal play yet. I think they're, what, six or seven favourites. Obviously, get underway against, DR Congo later today. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see Roberto Martinez's team. I think they've got arguably the strongest Portugal side that have ever gone to a major tournament. The big question mark is, what do you do about Cristiano Ronaldo, an all-time GOAT? Obviously, at the veteran stage of his career now, does he play every minute? Would that be detrimental to the Portuguese team? That's a question for Roberto Martinez. What we do know now is that this will be Martinez's last tournament in charge of Portugal. Whatever happens, he's going to leave at the end of this World Cup. He's not going to renew his contract. So will the players be determined to send him out on a high?
Quadruple header today. Once again, as you said, starting with Portugal against the Democratic Republic of Congo. Do you like anything today in any of those four games?
Yeah, I think when you look at Portugal, Martinez, the quickest ever Portuguese manager to see his team score more than 100 goals. So I think there will be goals in this game. I think it should be a commanding victory. Wouldn't surprise me if we see something similar to what we saw from Germany against Curacao, the match that I was at in Houston a few days ago. So Portugal at -3 on the handicap stands out to me.
Portugal at -3. What about England and Croatia, your team?
Yeah, that'll be a lot cagier. I think these two have history. Croatia beat England in the 2018 semi-final. England got some form of revenge in the first game of the European Championships back in 2021 with a 1-0 victory. I can foresee a similar scoreline because neither team concede too many goals. I think England will dominate possession. Croatia will sit deep and try and hit on the counter-attack. So I'm going for a 1-0 England victory in that game. Obviously, a lot of attention now on Harry Kane, given the fact that Mbappe and Haaland and Messi have all scored goals overnight. But Jude Bellingham, for me, is England's match winner. I think he's looked really sharp in the two warm-up games they've had over in Miami. I think he's got a point to prove because his place in the team wasn't necessarily guaranteed. So I'm looking at England to win 1-0 and Jude Bellingham to get the goal.
Okay, there you go. That's very specific. We like that. And then since you allude to sort of the golden boot there with goals scored, what's your hunch when all is said and done?
Well, I'm really disappointed that Julian Alvarez didn't start for Argentina because he was my long shot for the golden boot, available at a big price. But it was Lisandro Martinez who got the nod to play up front in that game. So disappointing for Alvarez. I think it's hard to see past Mbappe now. The fact he's got two goals, he's not that far away from being the highest scoring player at World Cups. And I think he'll go on to break that record. And I think he will probably go on to win the golden boot because I picked France out before the tournament on that second half performance against Senegal. I'm quite content with that prediction.
Alex, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Network. A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Let me tell you all what's going on right now. Chris Velika has so many World Cup bets that he sent it to us for graphics in advance, but he had sent them in like three different forms, yeah. And so Danny's losing his mind.
Hey, we're okay. No, we're just getting organized. We're just getting organized on the air, sort of.
Danny's like, where are the picks? I don't know where the picks are.
Chris, hey, I was confused by that too. You said first segment when you opened up the show. I just kind of stayed quiet over here, but I'm like, yeah, I've seen a ton, and I don't know where they're at.
There's so many, I can't even organize them in my brain anymore. Looking forward to that top of the hour, Chris Velika, World Cup bets. I'm going to say it's today, tomorrow, and beyond. How about that? We'll go with that.
Yeah, like the 80s, 90s, and today.
That's right. Just Win Bets Baby on Twitter says they had 3-0 Argentina yesterday. Correct score plus 850. Enough said. And they did. There's the screenshot of it. Good on you. Did you have Messi having a hat trick as well? 3 Jack H 3131. Oh, by the way, it's 3 Jacques H 3131. I don't know how anyone can watch World Cup and not realize what a talent Messi is. A great ball striker, puts his foot in the ground, goes north south, incredible in open space, and overall great around the green. The ball recycling was unreal. Well done, 3 Jack.
There it is, 3 Jack. Take the rest of the day off. Well done.
This is why y'all are the
best
listeners. It's like a soap opera. It carries over from one day to the next year. Brad Magnus, Cam Young and Bryson to miss the cut parlay plus 728 on FanDuel. Had to do it after the last segment. I don't know if you had to parlay him, Brad, but I'm glad Brad did make these bets, because in a golf tournament with weather like this, I actually think miscut bets are the great market to go to.
Yeah, always U.S. Open, just because of the math of the field, too. You got 156 guys teeing it up. Top 60 in ties will make the cut.
Yeah, think about 156 golfers versus, say, 90 at the Masters.
Right.
Por ejemplo. Bobby Geddes, I know this is risky or perhaps frowned upon, but I couldn't resist. Oh, listen to this story. We need a judgment on Bobby Geddes right here.
Okay.
He says, I know this is risky or perhaps frowned upon, but I couldn't resist. I went to bet Hijikata yesterday. Rinky Hijikata was one of my tennis players. Saw him listed on the pre-match odds screen. It was minus 110, so not near your plus 135. Didn't take it. Well, Rinky, I was about to call Bobby Rinky. Bobby, that's the first mistake. Hijikata was plus 105, not plus 135. Anyway, here's his dilemma. He says, I went to the live odds to try and get Rinderknecht. And all of a sudden, what's this? He says, Hijikata live odds also being displayed at minus 450. So I went back to my pre-odds screen and took Hijikata at minus 110 when he was already up a set. Bookie mistake or frowned upon? Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. This is confusing me. So you saw him live odds at minus 450. But what do you mean there was a pre-odds where he was up a set and minus 110? I'm not sure.
Somebody left odds up. The match had already started. He was up a set. Someone had left up pre-tournament odds.
No, I get that. But so that's a really bad mistake by the bookie to leave the pre-odds up, for sure. Bookie mistake or frowned upon? Well, it's a bookie mistake. And to the question of whether it's frowned upon, it is frowned upon. What you're really asking is, should I have done this, or was this a bridge too far? In other words, would I have incurred the wrath of the bookie, in other words, by doing this? Obviously, it's depending on who it is, right? If it's like an offshore pillar, they probably let you get away with that one. It's like, hey, their mistake. Not that they would have made that mistake. The only things that like an offshore pillar that you shouldn't do is, let's say the Arizona Cardinals were 10-point dogs in a game, but they listed them as 10-point favorites by accident, and then you took a shot at the dog. Something obvious like that, don't do that. This one, on a random tennis match where it's only, you know, they just left those up. I don't know. I wouldn't do it again. Let's put it that way.
It's yes and yes. I mean, it's a bookie mistake. Yes, it's frowned upon.
The question is really, can he do that without incurring the wrath is really the question.
Yeah.
And I think it's a gray area. I think maybe this once, as long as you didn't bet that much. If you like bet, you know, five dimes on it, different story.
I was going to say, depends who it is, depends how much, right? Yeah. And then these are the questions that you have to ask yourself of much do I care about this relationship going forward? Because, I don't want to speak for Gil. I usually tend to be the guy that I'd rather make the bet, take the money, and then you want to not take my business anymore, fine. But let me get the bet down.
Let's go country clubbing, shall we? What kind of sweet dance would you do to that music right there, Kelly Bidlin?
The Higgins.
The Higgins? The Danny Higgins at the bar?
The Danny Durango. That's what I call it.
Danny luring in the ladies.
And it was very cool about it. It's very cool. It's like, hey, Bill, what's up, man? How you doing? Hey, how you doing over there? All right. Hey.
Oh, man. U.S. Open tomorrow. Would you like to repeat all your bets, sir?
Sure. Let's go for it. I'm on Scotty. Outrights. I'm on Scotty. I took him. Look, this is definitely a shop around. If you're looking at odds on our screen, you'll see plus 445. That is over at DraftKings. If you are in where all the national books are, you will see a plus 445 at DraftKings. You will see plus 550 over at FanDuel. Shop around. We were doing long shots yesterday. I went over to bet 365. Scotty Scheffler was plus 650 over there. Yo, plus 650.
Where?
Bet 365. Make sure you are shopping around. That is a massive odds difference from plus, what do we have, plus 445 to plus 650. That's huge. I did end up on a bit of Scheffler at plus 575 here at Circa. This is, also a great opportunity to use those boosts that you were given as well. MGM had one of those for us here in Nevada, at least. So I used one of those, was able to get Scheffler up to plus like 687. So, yeah, I did mess around with that. It's a U.S. Open. This is crazy weather. I did go small and add a couple other outrights, Gil. I went J.J. Spahn long, 60-1, and Alex Smalley, 100-1. I'm having this current battle with the sports books over Alex Smalley, and I don't really know who's going to win out in the end. I've been able to win some good money on Smalley this year, and I keep expecting those odds to be adjusted, Gil, and they're like, nope, he sucks. Keep betting him. Go ahead, Kelly. Go ahead. So I did add a little bit of Spahn 60-1, Smalley 100-1. Kurt Kitayama, top 10. Like Kitayama, I've bet him a couple times here recently. You guys probably heard me talk about his ball striking numbers are great right now. He is last 20 rounds in this field, 11th off the tee and 21st on approach. That's pretty typical for Kurt Kitayama. 15th in putting is not typical for him, though, in this field. His putter has been rolling really well recently. His around the green play and scrambling has been much better. So I'm going to go on a high-end result here for Kitayama. He is definitely a boomer bust candidate this week. So I did a 6-1 top 10 on him. And then a guy that I have bet a whole lot in the past, I don't feel like I was on enough of early in this season, Gil. And, man, I am shocked at how little I have heard his name this week. Siwoo Kim. I am right back there. He is playing the best season of his entire career. Everybody was kind of noting his hot start to the season. But the last couple weeks, T10 at the Memorial and a second at the Byron Nelson, all since the PGA. Siwoo Kim, he drives the ball very accurately. You're not going to have to worry about him spraying it out into the long fescue out there. And he's one of the best long approach hitters in the world, good around the greens. I really like Siwoo this week. I loaded up on him in the top 20. I played him in the top 10 market as well. Another guy I haven't heard mentioned this week, which I'm a little surprised with the run that he's been on, Patrick Cantlay. I'm on him, plus 175, top 20 market. He is, in the last 16th rounds, 9th on approach in this field, 16th around the green. I really think that's what's going to separate guys this week, is on approach and around the green. And he's got good lag putting stats as well. Top 20 market, he's cashed 5 of the last 6 tournaments he's teed it up in. So I like Cantlay there. Added the Spahn top 20 and Smalley top 20 as well. Again, Alex Smalley missed the cut at the Memorial. T3 at the Charles Schwab, T2 at the PGA Championship, you know, not that long ago at a major. T17 at the Truist, T7 at the Cadillac, T14 at the Valero, and then finally a T21 at the Houston. So it is a lot of top 20 caches for Smalley. I'll keep going back to there. I think I saw 375 at Circa here this morning. So if you are in Vegas, definitely check that one out. But yeah, that's a full card for me right now. Scheffler, Spahn, Smalley, outrights, top 10 on Kitayama and Siwoo Kim, top 20 Siwoo Kim, Cantlay, Spahn, and Smalley. I will be adding some matchups, some first round stuff later today. You're just going to have to check out VSiN.com, though. I'm still waiting and watching this weather.
I made my first U.S. Open bet just now.
What you on?
Patrick Reed to win it, plus 50-50.
I can't argue it, man.
50 and a half to one, if you will.
He is the ultimate example, Gil, especially this year, but even in seasons past, of guys I just don't have enough data on that I don't go back because he's not playing all that much. But two really good majors so far for Patrick Reed.
Yep. And Rick Gaiman put it over the top for me by his little intel there. Watching Patrick Reed, what would he call it? One of the greatest practice sessions he's
really
ever
impressed.
Witnessed.
Yeah, really impressed.
Good enough for me. Coming back, Chris Felica, all his World Cup bets next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.